Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are going to talk about Venus coming back in direct motion through a square with Jupiter in Taurus. So in order to look at this today, I've decided to look at some of the most positive, redemptive themes that Venus-Jupiter squares can bring about, especially considering that there's this kind of triumphant conclusion to the work that Venus has been doing with Jupiter since the beginning of the summer. So I just kind of lovingly titled this What It Looks Like When Love Wins, but what I really mean is what are the most potent positive qualities, the sort of celebratory themes that we might notice or experience given the mostly positive connotations of the two benefics getting together in one last square as Venus is now in direct motion. So we're going to look at that, give you a timeline for that and some of the best things to look for. And that is our task for the day. Before we get into it, as always, don't forget to like and subscribe. We really appreciate that. It helps the channel to grow. And share your comments. When you guys share your own thoughts and reflections, it creates a nice community space for all of us. And I really enjoy hearing what you guys have to say. It also helps the channel to grow too. You can find transcripts of my daily talks on the website, nightlightastrology.com. And I'm going to take you over to the website in a moment. But first, I also am taking a moment to promote my friends over at Astrology Hub. I'm going to be promoting them today. If you go to astrologyhub.com, and actually I'll take you over there right now so you can see it. If you've never been there before, I've done work with Astrology Hub several times, and earlier this summer did some promoting of one of their programs that I think would be very useful for members of my audience. So here is astrologyhub.com. When you go over there, you will notice that they have a lot of different offerings, and a lot of my favorite friends and colleagues teach and work for them. I've worked for them several times in the past, and I'm sure I will do so again at some point. You can find they have readings, courses, their podcast series, which is really great, and membership circles where you can work through the lunation cycles of the year with a team of different astrological experts that are different for each moon cycle. So lots of really great stuff. But in particular, I want to point you to their reading service. As we are getting our donation-based reading program set up, I think that they provide something that would be really great for my audience, especially because my audience right now, if you're trying to book with me, my wait time is 8-9 months, I think, at this point. So it's a long time, and I always feel bad when people are looking for something more immediate or maybe seeking a different price range than what I have available. I think that Astrology Hub's Astrologer Connect service is really great. So when you go, click on the readings tab. And for members of my audience, they've given us a promo code to get 15% off. If you use the code 15GIFT when you book a reading, you can get 15% off from that reading, which is really nice. The other thing that I like about this service is that they have a whole staff of different experts that have different astrologers, many of whom are my friends, some of whom have taught for me before or actually come through my programs. And when you book with them, you can kind of read about the different astrologers on staff, and you can even take a quiz that will match you and what you're interested in and the kind of astrology or astrology experience that you're looking for with the best person on staff. So I love this service. I think it is absolutely fantastic. Couldn't recommend it highly enough. And I took the quiz myself at one point earlier in the summer and got paired with Gemini Brett, who's a friend of mine. So I was like, well, that totally makes sense. I thought that was pretty cool. Anyway, so be sure to check them out. Really glad to be promoting their work on the show occasionally here. And this reading service will definitely offer something for people in the audience who are looking for a reading, but they look at my wait time and they say, gosh, I don't want to wait 8 months. Remember, in the new year, after this year's Kickstarter, we will be working to establish our own version of a service like this. So until then, I'm really excited to promote my friends over there and turn you guys on to something that may be of use to you before we get our own service set up. So in the meantime, I am very excited that my new course, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, is beginning. You go over to nightlightastrology.com. That's my website. And you will see under the courses tab, the first year course. And if you click on it and go down, we start November 18th. And you can hear what alumni have had to say about it. You can read about what's included in the program. It's a year-long immersion into ancient Hellenistic astrology. It's perfect for people who are looking to deepen their understanding of astrology, get a classical kind of roots up education that spans, you know, 2000 plus years of astrological history, gives you a really deep understanding of the different kinds of astrology and the different the historical roots of the planets, signs, houses, aspects, the philosophy underlying it. We have breakout study sessions in between our major units of study. We have a tutoring staff that's available in a discussion forum and that leads those breakout study sessions. So it's a really comprehensive course with a lot of bonus material and optional homework that you can do to kind of bolster yourself outside of class if you want to. There is certification that's optional at the end as well. You can take a test, or some people just take it for their own enrichment. You don't have to feel the pressure of taking a certification exam, but it's there if you'd like to. We have tuition assistance. We have a payment plan. We have an early bird payment. So some payment options at the bottom of the screen. I want to make sure that I tell you that need-based tuition contracts are now open. So we are now inviting people to apply for need-based tuition. If that would help you to take the program, we understand people are in a lot of different positions financially. That is there for people who could use it because, you know, the full price of the program may be outside of your budget range. We understand that we don't want to price anybody out of studying something that we believe is sacred and should be accessible to everybody. So that's a big part of our mission. I hope you'll take advantage of that and use the need-based tuition option. If you have any questions, email us info@nightlightastrology.com. A little bit of a lengthy intro today, so thanks for bearing with me. We are going to now take a look at Venus's square to Jupiter and the most exciting parts of the Venus square to Jupiter, which, you know, we can talk about it in terms of like, you know, the very concrete manifestations, like, you know, things that might happen that are very positive. But I'm going to talk about it thematically and archetypally today. As you guys know, I love to do that. So here you can see, as I'm opening up my screen here, let's go forward. The square is coming through over the weekend, so we are essentially preparing ourselves by looking at it in advance. It comes, you know, between Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon, and you can see it right there playing out. Actually, I'll highlight it so that you can see it a little bit more clearly. But there's the square just completing here by Sunday morning. So it's like Saturday afternoon into Saturday evening into Sunday morning when it perfects. So you'll notice it around that time. But generally speaking, the square is also something that's been in effect for a long time. Well, check this out. If we bring this, when a planet is within 3 degrees in ancient astrology, it's called an engagement. And that engagement range of the planet being within 3 degrees, applying or separating, is the degree range within which ancient astrologers believe that the manifestations of those two gods coming together were likely to occur. Well, it's been quite a long period of manifestation for these two planets. If we go back, let's see when they come to within that 3 degree range. So the 3 degree range through Venus's retrograde really got going here right around the middle of August. This is like August 15th, that they're coming to within about 3 degrees of one another, right about the middle of August. And then they perfect in their square right around August 22nd. And then Venus stations within that 3 degree range just about at the beginning of September. And it is since then has been moving within that 3 degree range. Now, that 3 degree range, when it comes together now over the weekend, we still have to track it over the course of its separation within 3 degrees. So when we see that, that takes us all the way to September 22nd, right? So still a lot of life left in this Venus-Jupiter square. Of course, as soon as Venus gets done with this, Venus goes right into the square with Uranus again, which we'll take some time to look at in another video. But all of this is to say that we have still a very powerful wave of Venus-Jupiter archetypal energy to be experienced. It's in front of us. So I just kind of, again, sort of lovingly titled What It Looks Like When Love Wins. These to me are, I came up with a list of 5 of the most positive archetypal expressions of Venus and Jupiter, the two benefics, and what they represent when their combination is at its best. And for ancient astrologers, squares between benefics were not necessarily a bad thing. Even oppositions between benefics may not be such a bad thing. It is as though the overriding quality of the benefics is what stands out. Their benefic qualities override the challenging nature of a difficult aspect. So that's something that we can see in a square, for example, where Jupiter is overcoming Venus in a superior square, but they're positively configured because Jupiter's also in Venus's sign. So there's reception between the two planets. Anyway, these are the things that I think of as the most subjectively positive pieces of Venus and Jupiter getting together. And it starts with the feeling of return. So one of the actions of Jupiter and Venus that they both share is in bringing things together. Now, Jupiter tends to bring things together on the level of, it brings moral or spiritual cohesion. Order sometimes sounds like a Saturnian word. Some people will hear the word order and think the imperial order in Star Wars or something. Jupiter's order is more like the sense that you live in a unified, cohesive, meaningful, well-arranged whole, a cosmos. What the word cosmos sharing with the word cosmetic is also related to Venus, who also had the relationship to things that were well-arranged in terms of beauty, symmetry, proportionality. But Venus was also related to things like justice and fairness, which you see, for example, in Venus's rulership of the sign of Libra. Venus was associated with social harmony, which had a kind of relation to justice and fairness and equality and things like that. So both Jupiter and Venus tend to put things in together, meaningfully arranged wholes. Venus harmonizes, Jupiter creates coherence morally, religiously, spiritually, academically. Jupiter is associated with all of those, in a perfect world, all of those institutions of our society, whether it's a society from one part of the world or another part of the world, archetypally, it doesn't matter what type of society it is, but it creates moral and spiritual cohesion and meaning that everyone shares in, and that keeps the social fabric like healthy and together and vibrant, so it doesn't tear apart. And Venus has the same meaning, all sometimes it's romantic, but it's a general feeling of cohesion. And so Venus square Jupiter is about if there has been things that have been torn apart, or if there have been things that have been disjointed, or you've been waiting for things to come together again after a period of separation. Venus Jupiter, you could say, since June has been working on a project of restoring something or taking things that have been severed and bringing them back together. Venus Jupiter is therefore associated with a feeling of return. Now, the word return, the etymology of the word is really fascinating. It could mean to come back or to go back to a former position, but it also has the meaning of something that has been revolving and comes back to a starting point. That's really fascinating because it's an actual, almost like a physical allusion to planetary cycles. And we say Venus return, or we say lunar return. Those have long, that's a word that's long been used to remind us of the cyclical nature of things. Sometimes, in other words, we forget that it's very natural in our universe for the cup to be emptied and the cup to be full, for the darkness to come and the daylight to return, the darkness to return, the daylight to fade. So in moments of return, where you feel like things are all coming back together, and where you've been wandering or lost or longing, suddenly that feeling of being reunited or coming back to some place that you left will be the major experience. And this is one of the most positive and exciting parts of a Venus-Jupiter contact. Number two is the feeling of hope. You know, the etymology of the word hope means It comes from Old English, hopian, to have trust, to have confidence, and to assume confidently or to trust. Now, sometimes people mistake the word hope for like wishes, like I'm hoping for something, I'm wishing for something. The way that I'm thinking right now about the word hope in relation to this transit is the kind of hope that Venus and Jupiter provide us with, especially when there is a return. When you return to a place of cohesion or meaning or unity or harmony or love or connection, you suddenly, what comes with it is often a sense of trust. Okay, that sucked. That was hard. That was difficult. But things came back around. You know, it's kind of like the more that you reiterate the old adage, this too shall pass, the more that you start to trust, you have this kind of confident knowing, even in dark times, which doesn't take away the experience of the pain or suffering of dark times, but there's a hope, there's a trust, this too will pass. And there's a hope and a trust that even when things are going well and you know eventually they won't be, that the process itself is good. Somehow you trust in the entirety of the circle, of the cycle. So it's funny how, you know, we can get hooked on the moments of return and be like, oh, well, thank God that's over. But how do we really want to ride the roller coaster over and over and forget every single time we're going around that this too shall pass, that the darkness will pass, that the meaning or cohesion or unity, harmony will return? Do we want to just forget that? Forgetting, like, it's one thing to have to go through it. It's another thing to go through it and forget that it's okay. So Venus-Jupiter contacts can just help us deepen our sense of hope, which is a confident knowing and trusting. That doesn't mean that you know what's going to happen or that you know what an outcome will be or that you're wishing for something, you know, vainly or blindly or selfishly or something. The feeling of hope from this standpoint has to do with a confidence in the way things unfold, a trust in the way things unfold. And that could be described as hope, a confident knowing, to have trust in the unfolding of things. It's a Venus-Jupiter thing. Now, the feeling of hope is something we can learn to carry with us in dark times. Sometimes that voice of hope or that the light of hope is just a little delicate, fragile flickering. But every time we experience returns and the something good in a process we've gone through and something being restored or mended or reunited, we trust a little bit deeper. Can we accept the gift of hope? It's not easy to hold hope. Hope is a way of life, not like a wish or some kind of certainty. The feeling of enthusiasm. So the word enthusiasm, I did the etymologies for all of them today. Entheos, the God within. You guys have heard me use this one before. Divine inspiration, to be inspired or possessed by a God, to be wrapped in ecstasy by a divine force, power, or God. Sometimes it can have a derogatory sense of excessive religious emotion. I thought that was kind of funny. And we all know what that's like. I'm not talking about, you know, that kind of obnoxious enthusiasm. We're talking about the way in which these two planets, which are the producers of good fortune, and we're going to talk about that word fortune in a moment too, that what comes with, if you have experienced a return, if things have been healed or mended, or you've come back to something, you've come back and discovered something meaningful in the process of wandering and coming back, you carry with you a feeling of hope. Sometimes what comes with that, although it's not always something you can control, it comes and goes as it wishes. It may be even it's a spirit of its own, but the feeling of the gods living within you, You know, I mean, I'll never forget when I was a kid, and I think I've told you guys this story before, but I was really involved in youth ministry and in like youth groups at church. I actually became a youth pastor for a while. There were pretty regularly at summer camps and youth retreats and stuff, altar calls. And if you're in the Christian world, you know what this is, right? It's like, maybe you've been wandering from Jesus. You know, maybe you've lost your faith, or you've been going down a dark path. Well, why don't you come up here onto the altar, you know, and in front of everyone, just get, you know, commit your life back to God or something like that. This was emotionally cathartic. I don't regret those experiences a bit, because those experiences, they taught me how to come back to something of spiritual value, even if I'm not in the same like evangelical Christian world that I was in, you know, when I was being raised as a kid or whatever. But the experience of coming back and of knowing I need to come back, when you do, you know, sometimes I remember the verbiage, you know, the youth minister might say, it, you know, it's time to come back, feel on fire for God again. You know, I know some of probably it's like cringy to some people out there, and I get it, but I grew up in it. It was like, that was my introduction to spirituality. These kinds of experiences are very meaningful to me. Being on fire, it still happens in my life. You know, I think as a content creator, it's the most frustrating part for me, since my content is fueled by my relationship to God and spirit. It's like, you know, sometimes it feels like, you know, I was mentioning in another video, it's like you're walking in a desert and there's no water. You know, still looking at the new moon with Neptune, spirit is somehow gone. But when it's back, you feel enthused. And what that really means to me is you feel the gods or the archetypes or divinity or whatever you want to call it. You feel it just sort of flaming in your heart. You feel excited. You feel like you're growing. You feel like you're back in a magical universe. That is a Venus-Jupiter dynamic, because Venus-Jupiter connects us with the spirit of hope, of return. We're going to talk about good fortune or good luck in a minute too. And with that comes this feeling of being on fire again. And it doesn't last forever, but what we do with that fire is really important, because it's very Promethean. It's like, you can change, you can evolve, you can discover, you can invent, you can move forward, you can change habits. That is a creative power that comes with it. Venus and Jupiter's amazing in that way. So enthusiasm, ecstasy, divine rapture, the gods possessing you suddenly. Number four is the feeling of fertility. Now, I'm using the word feeling because sometimes it's an experience of these qualities, but sometimes it's also just the feeling of it rushing through you, becoming aware of those feelings or the felt sense of these qualities archetypally. The feeling of fertility. Well, the word fertile, etymologically, I think this is fascinating. Bearing or producing abundantly. And directly from Latin, fertilis, bearing in abundance, fruitful, productive, from fere, to bear, to carry, to bear children. Well, one of the most literal, concrete manifestations of the archetypal combination of Venus and Jupiter is, you know, pregnancy, childbirth, love, sexual union, and intercourse that can be, you know, productive of offspring. So, but it's broader than that. Archetypally, these two planets were the planets, the benefics were associated with the life-giving qualities that allowed gardens and crops to flourish. So creatively fertile, the feeling of things growing or the soil being conducive to growth, metaphorically speaking. This is a fertile transit. And with that comes a feeling of potential, right? When there's a fertile feeling, there's a feeling that there's potential here for something to grow. We have to use that. People have long said that these kinds of transits, they come through, and it's also like, well, what are you going to plant right now? You do have free will. And then number five is the feeling of good luck. And I prefer the word fortune, I think. But anyway, the word luck, the equivalent of it was a 2K in Greek, I believe that's how you pronounce it. But anyway, it's like fortune. And the interesting thing about fortune is that the word fortune, interestingly, has an association with to bear children. Or to, and this is interesting, the semantic shift from load or the carrying to chance, luck, is not obvious. The sense might be that which is brought or bestowed. People often talk about children as things that come through us, not from us, in a way. Well, I guess it's both, but you get what I'm saying. There's something about Venus and Jupiter that has always been associated, like Jupiter was associated with a house that was called, at one point it was called Pennies from Heaven, the 11th house. Venus was the ruler, archetypally rejoiced in the fifth house, opposite the 11th place that Jupiter rejoiced in, the fifth house, which was called the house of good fortune. And it was associated with, of course, children and pregnancy, among other things. But this has a meaning that extends beyond, again, the literalness of like bearing children, which is that there is something carried, bestowed, brought, birthed, that is of to be celebrated, that brings joy or glad tidings, like a kind of like the birth of Christ. You know, it's like there's the stars are twinkling in the heavens. You know, of course, there's an allusion in many ways to these bright, beautiful stars, Venus and Jupiter, that there's a sense of something being bestowed, that the sky, that the fates, that the gods are pregnant and they're going to bestow something upon you that will be good. It'll be experienced subjectively as good fortune. Bad fortune would be when something is brought upon you that presents a difficulty, a challenge, an obstacle, a frustration, something that has to be overcome. When Venus and Jupiter get together, often it's the opposite, that the sky is pregnant and will bear some event or outcome or circumstance that is favorable, that is that gives you reason to celebrate or feel gratitude. Thank you. Thanks be to the gods for what they have provided. That kind of thing. So these are some of the reasons to be stoked about this transit. Now, I'm not saying that you can't look at Venus and Jupiter and see people like maxing out their credit cards, you know, or like doing other stupid things, you know, or that there aren't shadows. But these, to me, are the themes that we have to celebrate and look forward to. This is what it looks like when, you know, when love wins, which is the kind of most fun part about Venus Jupiter, when they get together with reception after a long process. So hopefully we're experiencing some of these things after the work that we've done with this transit over the summer. Anyway, that's what I've got for today. Be sure to, again, once more, don't forget to go check out Astrology Hub and their readings. And use the promo code 15GIFT to get 15% off when you book a reading with them. It's a great way to have your chart read and from some really insightful and sensitive astrologers whose mission in service to the soul is very similar to my own, which I know a lot of the readers on their staff personally have had them teach for me. So hopefully that can also meet a need for people who want to get a reading, but maybe don't want to stand in the long line. And hopefully, again, that line will shrink quite a bit as we get our own service rolling here in hopefully the first couple of months of 2024. Okay, well, that's what I've got for today. Hope you guys are doing well. We'll see you again soon. Bye.